Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1550, air date March 20th, 2025.
The talk I want to give today, I'm going to expand on it this evening, is the foundations of fake science, you know, incestuousness and reductionism. And this comes from some recent efforts that we just did. Some of you may know that there are various journals, scientific journals in the world. The number one journal in the world is a journal called Nature, N-A-T-U-R-E, okay? And if you look at the millions of academics who work in all the universities out there, one of the pinnacles of the establishment's academic achievement is if you publish in Nature, you typically get a tenureship at a major university. Tenureship means you never have to work again. You get a professorship for life. How many people are aware of this? How many people know what Nature is? You can just raise your hands. Just see. I just want to understand who understands what Nature is, etc. Okay. All right. So, why am I talking about this? Because, and typically people who publish in Nature are in academia. So they typically achieve, they get a professorship, they're working in academia, they know the editors, you know, sort of insider trading, okay? So it's basically a very elite club who gets to publish in Nature. Unless you do extraordinary work that Nature must publish because they're afraid you'll go publish elsewhere. Okay? So I chose not to be in academia, and I chose to exit that and do stuff independently. And this is very, very rare. One of the other people who decided to do this was Kerry Mullis, who won the Nobel Prize for the PCR test. He worked in a company, you see? And academics are so insecure because they've never had to go outside and make their own way. You see, when you're in an academic institution, you get health insurance, you get all the support, you get offices, you don't have to pay for electricity, you get desks and students, everything. You're given grant money. It's like you're a baby who's coddled. And in that coddled environment, you write your papers and you get a network, you see? It's very, and then you have to play by their rules. So that's how this works. And then they train people to revere academia, and people talk a big game about academics, you see? So for the last 8 years, since 2017, there's, you know, one of my favorite baseball players was a guy called Lou Gehrig. Very interesting movie about him done. I think Gregory Peck played him. But Lou Gehrig died of a disease called ALS. And ALS is where your motor neurons do not communicate with your muscles. Now, there's billions, hundreds of millions of dollars have gone into ALS research. So we just published a groundbreaking paper in Nature. First of all, it's huge to get it into Nature. And I'm going to talk to you about how radically different it is. How much did we spend on this? Zero. Myself and our researchers at Cytosolve did it on our own. And then I went to MIT, a former advisor of mine, Roger Cam, who does microfluidics, and I had Roger review our paper and give his blessings. So I also very generously made him a co-author. All right. So when you look at ALS, so if you take your right hand and you touch your muscle on your, you know, left biceps, and that's your muscle, it's your skeletal muscle. If you lay your arm out straight, you can send a signal to raise up your left hand, okay? And your bicep moves, okay? How does that happen? Well, when you think about that, a signal goes from the back of your spine through the motor neuron, and the motor neuron has a motor unit which touches the muscle, and it fires acetylcholine, and your muscle moves up. Now, that microscopic location where your motor neuron synapse touches a muscle is known as a neuromuscular junction, NMJ. So for years, for decades, people have been studying the neuromuscular junction and the neighborhood of cells around it. That's called the neuromuscular junction microenvironment. And remember, hundreds, billions have gone into research to ALS foundations. Wealthy people give money because they had someone who lost their lives. Well, we did this research for 8 years in the midst of running for president, for Senate, and we didn't take a penny. And what we said was that neuromuscular junction microenvironment shouldn't just include cells in that neighborhood, but it should also include the cells that go all the way through the motor neuron to your spine, which contains three other cells, and I'll talk more about this. Anyway, so we expanded the definition of the neuromuscular junction microenvironment to a systems approach, you see? We said, look, you can't just be looking like a stupid blind man, which we teach many of you. The reason we teach system science, we said, you can't just be narrowly looking at one little point. You have to look at the interconnections. So anyway, this is pretty radical, and we published this in Nature. We published in a new journal called Nature Systems Biology, which is within Nature. And the reviewers loved it. And we called it, we said, this is truly the NMJ microenvironment. It's not just what's occurring right at that muscle tissue, but you have to look all the way up to the spine. And we found three other cell types, astrocytes, microglia, and oligodendrocytes, okay? So anyway, it's a big achievement to get published in Nature, and I'll share with you the paper we published. It's out there. Again, remember, all these other research institutions get paid hundreds of millions of dollars. Think about what we did. We got a paper published in Nature with zero funding, zero. To all of you people who are on this phone call, maybe a lot of money, think about all the money that goes into research. And we did this as an independent organization outside of academia, outside of government, okay? And this obviously sends, you know, serious, can you guys see my screen or no? So obviously this creates a lot of jealousy because people are like, how the fuck did these guys do this? And this is a paper, okay? So you can see I'm the main author, Dr. Prabhakar and Roger Kam. Now, Roger is in the Institute of Medicine. He's a member of the National Academy of Engineering. He's been an academic all his life, okay? I think he has three professorships. But I'm the senior author on it, okay? And this is, so you see, this is a neuromuscular junction. But you notice we put the astrocytes, oligodendrocytes, and microglia around it because even though they're not physically there, we're saying that they are interacting even at the spinal base. And this was our architecture, which is a whole systems architecture of how this disease works versus just looking there, okay? We're saying you got to look at the whole picture. So one of the leading researchers in the field in Edinburgh, he wrote to Roger and says, this is scary. That's what he wrote. This is scary. They're including the astrocytes and oligodendrocytes and microglia. Okay? So, right? Because it sends shockwaves. Now, that guy's been in this field for whatever, 30, 40 years. And ALS, there hasn't been any major discoveries because they're only looking at this little area right there. They're not looking at all this other stuff. Now, they were looking at the motor neuron, the terminals, but we included these three other cell types, you see? So Roger, being an academic, right, he's like, oh, well, you know, I don't know if we did the right thing. And I said, Roger, we did, okay, because you have to take a whole systems approach. So the net of it is that to this guy who was critiquing us, I wrote a response back, which I'll share with you guys. You know, it's a draft email response. And I'll read you pieces of it so you guys understand, and I'll come back to this. So I wrote back to Roger. I said, I said, Roger, the NMJ quote-unquote microenvironment that the individual narrowly refers to is at least a decade behind the systems-level understanding that our paper elucidates by interconnecting the latest findings. Our paper provides a systems perspective of the true NMJ microenvironment that demands inclusion of the astrocytes, microglia, and oligodendrocytes. And I said, we chose to publish in a systems biology journal in order to assert the systems definition of the NMJ microenvironment. This effort to find the right journal took us nearly 18 months. We were fortunate that Nature Systems Biology agreed to publish our work. Okay. In preparing this response, I said our systems architecture. Oh, I'm sorry. I said, what is perhaps quote unquote scary for this individual who critiqued us is that we are defining the NMJ microenvironment from a systems perspective that includes these additional cells, astrocytes, microglia, and oligodendrocytes, since they affect the total motor unit function from the neuromuscular junction all the way to the brain. His fear, in my opinion, comes from the reality that we are presenting a systems approach, while he remains in a localized and reductionist world that has likely hit its limits to advance ALS research. Yes, perhaps this is indeed scary, okay? So we are facing this in real time, guys, and these are the leading researchers in the world. And mind you, I take a systems approach, and as you guys know, we're going into every major disease area. So how is it we go into a new disease area and we're creating explosion in the field? Because we take a systems approach. And a systems approach is where real science will come from, where real truth is. So I'm sharing this with you because in every field I go to, whether it was in the Indian government exposing corruption or getting on the ballot as president, it seems like I always end up shattering the swarm because we take the systems approach. And now this guy is obviously very envious who wrote, because he's been doing his bullshit for 30 years and they haven't made any major breakthroughs in ALS. This paper is a breakthrough. How much did we get paid for it? Zero. This guy's lab has probably received probably 10 to 20 million. So you have to ask yourself, where the fuck is all the money being given to Cytosolv? People have all this fucking money and they're giving it to morons. Why aren't they funding Cytosolv? It's really sick. And I'll tell you this, 99% of the people in the biological science or in academia have yet to publish one Nature paper. And when they're on their deathbed, they always mourn, wow, I never published a paper in Nature. And this guy had the audacity to tell Roger, he said, oh, these guys aren't in academia. They're working at a company. So fake science, the foundations of fake science is incestuous and reductionist. The foundations of fake people want to change the world is incestuous and reductionist. If you made it to our organization, this is a Navy SEAL warrior training camp for people who really want to change the world. We are doing things at a very deep level of knowledge and understanding that these people do not want to share with you. They get scared by a systems approach because we will actually fucking solve problems. They don't want to solve any problem. They're all living in their little cages and they want you to be in their cage. So those of you who are new and made it this far, and I'll keep repeating this, understand where you are at in this knowledge. The truth from help knowledge that you learn is very pedantic. It is at different levels. You have to understand what is a bottoms-up movement, because that is a concept of self-organizing systems. You have to understand that we have solutions. We have major solutions, Truth Freedom Health, Cytosolv, Systems Health, Clean Food. All of these developed bottoms-up. No one funded us. And these are revolutionary solutions. You must understand why you must study and learn. You must understand what you don't know. And our leaders in our movement, which I'm training now, are being trained to be much more vocal and articulate in putting people in their place. Because you have to put people in their place. Say, you're over here, you're in kindergarten, you don't know this yet. We don't accept everyone's at the same level of consciousness. That would be wrong. That would be taking a child, an embryo, and saying you're at the level of an adult. You're not. The knowledge that we put together is a systems-based approach to understand everything inside yourself and outside yourself. And we will be very assertive. We had a fool, you know, I had an event at my house and someone asked me to invite someone and I should never have let this guy into my house. And this idiot comes into my house. We're having a wonderful dinner. And this is how they are now finding new plants who try to infiltrate our movement. I agree with everything you're saying, Dr. Shiva, but why do you insult people? Why do you say you don't know something? I said, because you're a fucking idiot. You don't know something. You see, they want to take away the authority of people who spend time learning stuff, critiquing other people. Bullshit. That's like telling a master in karate that he doesn't have the right to discipline a white belt. It's not how it works. In the field of politics, in the field of systems knowledge, we have created that curriculum. There is ignorance, there's levels of consciousness, and there's levels of knowledge. We are going to respect those levels because people have put effort into understanding. It's not a hierarchy, it's about meritocracy. And our intention as a movement is A, to cultivate people who want to learn, who want to raise their consciousness. Because I'll tell you this, the latest research on consciousness shows that your consciousness of you is influenced by consciousness from without. Famous paper just came out. So your own consciousness is a function of the kinds of people you interact with. If you're dealing with a bunch of idiots and you're watching media and you're watching the swarm, your perception of reality is governed by that lens. So when people like this idiot made that statement, and I said, you know, you need to leave my house. And he didn't want to leave. So we walked him out. I said, you know what? You're ignorant. He goes, I'm older than you. I go, I don't give a fuck how older you are. You don't know this knowledge. And you need to study. It's not about age. So I want to let everyone know that the Truth Freedom Health program, we have great respect for it. And as I evolve as a teacher, I have to respect the work that I've done and our team has done. And we have to honor ourselves too. So we're not going to let anyone dishonor the work we've done. And you know the immense impact that our work has globally. Because of our knowledge, because of the consciousness we're raising, now people are saying, oh yeah, the JFK files and the Epstein files are a limited hangout to distract from the bombing in Gaza, from the bombing, from the warmongering in Iran, et cetera. That's our work. That is our consciousness that our movement has brought that is raising other people to get this. No one else did that, guys. We did that. So a small set of people who understand systems approaches can revolutionize the world, just like that paper I just wrote. So do not underestimate the knowledge we put together and do not overestimate your understanding of it. So to all of you here, understand that when you take a system science approach, you can go into any field, ALS, periodontitis, politics, your body, and you can radically change it for the better. And this is where change will really come from. So my intention, you know, what I want to do over this year, I'm trying to find about 100 people around me, serious leaders, and I engage with them 2 to 3 hours. It's a lot of effort. I have a lot of meaningful conversations to educate the master to apprentice. And hopefully they'll become masters and they'll train other people. That's one level of knowledge developing we're doing. The other level is we hold these orientations. So new people that come in, you guys can inspire to go through this in a disciplined manner. And the other thing we have, the third piece, is we actually have tangible solutions, which we can deliver here now. The clean food solution, systems health, and cytosol. We just had another gentleman come to my house. He's from Peru. He gets maca, which is a root that grows about 18,000 feet up. And he's saying the European Union is trying to ban maca in European Union, saying it perturbs hormones. The reality from his perspective is maca actually modulates the hypothalamus pituitary axis, which really lowers cortisol, modulates it so you relax properly. And then your body takes care of itself, you see? Now, he's saying this, but he can't prove it. Well, cytosol can help him do that. Last week, we were asked by the New Zealand Parliament to give the presentation on why GMOs must be banned in New Zealand. And Carell, if you can cue that up, and I was only given 10 minutes. And it was, I think it was 3 p.m. there, but 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. they were doing expert witnesses. And I was, I think, one of the people who was invited. And you'll see, we took a systems approach, only 10 minutes. And I think the two parliamentarians said it was the best presentation that they'd seen. So hopefully, we, with our research, which we did again 10 years ago, can stop GMOs and use it. Carell, can you bring that up? It's on my, Carell?
Yeah, I have it.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you, I don't know if you guys, how many people are interested in hearing this? If you didn't hear it, I think you may want to hear, but I was only given 10 minutes, guys. But we hit it out of the park. Why did we hit it out of the park? Because 10 years ago, I did this research. I presented this over and over and over again. And sometimes when you are prepared and you do the hard work, history presents you a chance. You see, luck is the events meeting preparation. So our movement is preparing people, is creating the organizational structure, because history will present the opportunity for an explosive effect to take place. But we have to be prepared. We have to have enough people to understand this knowledge. So those of you who are here, for God's sake, go through the knowledge, get on the ground, distribute flyers. Don't be, you know, lazy. Don't say, I don't have time. Because this is like a school. It is a school, but it has the practical stuff and the theoretical stuff. But so New Zealand, I mean, which is a very, you know, I never thought GMOs would ever be introduced in New Zealand. I mean, it's a country where they were fighting all the, you know, stuff that was going on, whales and all this stuff. But the fact that's happening shows you the infiltration of the swarm all the way down to the edges of the world. So do you have that queued up, Anna? Yeah. So I just want you guys to hear this. But we were just given 10 minutes. Go ahead, Anna, if you can play it with the sound.
10 minutes, the Truth Freedom Health with Dr. Shiva Ayadurai. Apologies if I haven't pronounced that correctly. But good to have you here, Dr. Shiva. Now I will hand that time over to you now.
Good afternoon. Can you guys see my presentation? I have a few slides. Everyone can see it? Okay, good afternoon. My name is Dr. Shivaya Dure. I'm an MIT PhD and a systems biologist. I want to just jump right into this, given the time that we have. But I'm from the Movement for Truth, Freedom, Health, which is a global movement which intersects activism with science and with health. The key points I want to share with the committee here today is that understanding substantial equivalence is key to GMO safety. Now, the criteria that are used to determine substantial equivalence between, let's say, a GMO ingredient and a organic ingredient are the ones that actually determine substantial equivalence. GMO manufacturers are subjectively selecting these criteria. Now, systems biology, which is a relatively a new field, reveals that GMO manufacturers are actually rigging the system. Now, I'm going to share with you very briefly some original research, published research in the peer-reviewed on soy, and then we're going to show that if GMO manufacturers had selected glutathione levels in soy, which are about 250% difference between GMO soy and organic soy, GMO soy would never have been approved for distribution into the public. Now, the New Zealand government, unlike the European Union or the United States, has an opportunity to use technologies such as cytosol for GMO safety. So that's the background. Now, I'm an MIT PhD. I have 4 degrees from MIT. My interest has been in science for a long time. As many people know, MIT is a leading technology institution in the world. In 2003, MIT created a new division called biological engineering. After I'd finished my PhD, this article occurred on the front page of MIT, which said, buy fresh, buy GMO. It was actually a sarcastic attack on buy fresh, buy local. MIT Technology Review is one of the leading journals in the world. Now, what does this really mean? Well, for years, there's been this pro-GMO and non-GMO debate. And as a scientist, I was very curious about what was really going on. And the fundamental issue that comes down to that the public needs to understand is, what is the difference between a non-GMO, right? Let's say an organic tomato in this case, and a GMO tomato. What is the actual difference? The GMO manufacturers say they're absolutely the same. Don't worry, that both are red, both have a certain amount of water, both have a certain amount of protein. Everyone should allow it into distribution. It's like saying, what's the difference between Steve Bannon and the Hulk, you know, being facetious. There are fundamental differences. Now, for a long time, people have been pushed to say, don't worry, GMOs are no different than what people have been doing with hybridization of, in this case, corn. You take corn A, corn B, you mix it, you get corn C. And the theory is that when you do a GMO, it is no different. But the reality is a substantial difference because you're doing a point mutation in a particular organism, which can have massive ramifications in the complex systems at the molecular systems level. The issue is, what are those ramifications? What is the difference between genetic and organic? Now, most of the substantial equivalence, the way that people determine the equality between a non-GMO and GMO, is based on a 1976 guidance that's used throughout the world, signed into law by Gerald Ford, on how do you determine the equivalence between two medical devices, which was then used for GMO organisms. In this law, which is also what New Zealand it likely will follow, the manufacturers are the ones who identify the characteristics of difference. So if they say organic tomato and non-organic tomato, they say, well, we've selected the how red it is, how much water it has, and how much protein, therefore they're equivalent. But are they truly equivalent? Well, anyway, so the criteria matter. In our work, we looked at soy. 95% of the soy in the United States is genetically engineered. So what is the difference? When you look at over nearly 7,000 experiments done in 184 scientific institutions in 23 countries, and you distill that down, first of all, you find out all plants, not only soy, have this very particular metabolic cycle. And you can see right here, methionine, biosynthesis, methylation. In this process, formaldehyde is produced, but it gets detoxified in the natural process because of proper levels of glutathione. We understood all of these molecular pathways, organized them, and we published this in Agricultural Sciences. No one had any issues with it. Several years later, we did another publication. We took this model and we used our technology, Cytosol, which was my PhD work at MIT, which allows us to model complex molecular systems, which has been published extensively. It's an entire laboratory. And what we found was that glutathione levels in the normal conditions are in steady state, and formaldehyde drops. And that's what you would expect in normal plants because they have a normal detox process. And we did sensitivity analysis to show this. And that was published in the American Journal of Plant Sciences. Then we introduced oxidative stress to a plant, a drought, those kind of conditions. And what you find under this condition, when you do the same thing, is glutathione levels will drop because the plant is using glutathione to absorb formaldehyde, and formaldehyde levels will rise. Same thing here. And then finally, what we did was what happens when a plant undergoes genetic engineering, which is what happens with Roundup Ready soy that Monsanto does. We found four enzymes that are perturbed in this process, including hydrogen peroxide, which is a separate thing. What's fascinating is when you put all this together with genetic modification, what you get is you get, in the non-GMO, formaldehyde is normally detoxified, but formaldehyde levels rise. Why? Because the glutathione levels have dropped, because the plant is under constant steady state oxidative stress. That's what this research revealed. And this was published in the Journal of Agricultural Sciences. This is when the world woke up and people, you know, some scientists in the European Union attacked us. They said, this is just a model, nothing to see here. This is nonsense. Well, we were very fortunate. We predicted in our work that in an organic soy plant, there would be 9.7 levels of glutathione, and in a Roundup Ready, there would be 3.9, substantially less. Well, people said this is just a model. We were very fortunate that the work of people in Leeds had also shown in vivo in a greenhouse the same effect. You see, so we had, but however, our work shows a mechanistic reason why this is occurring. This was also published in the American Journal of Plant Sciences. Bottom line is this, as I said, substantial equivalence is a key. And New Zealand has a huge opportunity, unlike all of these, frankly, primitive countries, which didn't want to follow, to actually use technology such as Cytosol to determine GMO safety. So our position is that Equivalence is what matters. Who is determining equivalence? Right now in the United States and other countries, it's the fox watching the hen house. The GMO manufacturers are determining equivalence by the criteria they select. New Zealand has a huge opportunity to lead the way in understanding GMOs by using this approach. This is the latest advancements in systems biology. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It was a very, very good submission. We have 2 minutes left if there's any questions. Steve.
Yeah, and just to expand, there's a super submission. You got a lot across in a short space of time. Just to expand on what you're telling us here is that you don't think the concept of substantial equivalence is completely bunkum. It just needs to be evaluated by independent scientists, not by the companies creating the novel organism that they want to get approval for.
Yeah, substantial equivalence originally, Steve, was created for medical devices, which maybe had 10 or 20 parts. In the United States, a medical device company, let's say they were making a stethoscope, wanted to get it out to the public, right? It would take 7 years to get approval by the FDA. But let's say they changed just the color of the stethoscope. It would take another 7 years. Yeah. So Congress basically said, if they're substantially equivalent, we should fast track it, yeah. Right? But what criteria were selected? That same body of guidance was used for GMOs, but a genetically engineered organism is far more complex than about 20 parts in a stethoscope, you see? So,
therefore, we shouldn't really apply it to biology at all.
Well, it shouldn't be, but if you are going to even use that, what criteria are being used, you see? Now, the approach of CytoSolv, which understands all the mechanistic understanding, you can use that to tease out what are substantially different or what are substantially equivalent, because it is at the molecular level we need to go at, not at some meta level. Well, is it color red? Does it have the same amount of water? You must do the molecular systems analysis. And based on that, and to your point, it must be done independently, not by the fox watching the hen house, not Monsanto deciding what's appropriate. Right now, Monsanto's under Bayer, as many of you know, because of the criticism they received, they put their company under a nice aspirin company to rebrand themselves.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Dr. Shiva. A very insightful submission.
Thank you.
Okay, next up.
All right. So that's our movement affecting potentially policy using molecular system science. Think about that. Who else is doing that on the planet, guys? And how much were we funded for that? Zero. So Elon Musk is talking about government waste. Well, the real waste is all these institutions that have been set up, who are funded, coddled to support a reductionist science, including Elon Musk. His entire existence comes from government, right? SpaceX, Twitter, Section 230 immunity, and Tesla. So we're an extraordinary movement. And to me, it's a great honor to start working with people who are very serious and also raise the bar for people to step up to the plate and learn this material. Because one person who gets this material, man, and you have 100 people who get this material, our goals have around 5,000 people globally who really get this. And that's a completely new world. It is consciousness which radically changes the world. Just like that consciousness in that paper of the NMJ microenvironment, where we expanded it, you see? And that doesn't require money. That requires you wanting to do it, getting over yourself. So I hope this inspires you to get involved and recognizes that one individual, disciplined, serious, being a conscious, incompetent, having the humility to say, I don't know this shit, I'm going to learn. And a lot of people in this world don't have that anymore, because the school system is telling, oh, you're great. Everyone's great. Everyone's great. No, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You need to learn this. So I hope those of you here recognize the enormous opportunity you have with this knowledge to better yourselves, better others, and the solutions that we've created. I'm sure Carell, and you walked through that systems health, clean food, and CytoSolv. These are three revolutionary platforms that academia and the swarm do not deserve, that It will be delivered by the people for the people. Clean food by the people for the people. Systems health by the people for the people. Cytosolv, new medicines by the people for the people. We go direct to people. We don't need them. We go direct, bottoms up. And that concept is a very radical concept. I hope you engage yourself for your own soul's advancement and do the right thing for you. Don't do it for me. Do it to save yourself. Thank you.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that, and that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train an army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up. Working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is a not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is a not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you, on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're gonna follow on the left wing, Bernie Sanders, oh, he said something, or Robert Kennedy, scumbags. Or you're gonna follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not gonna lead us to liberation, it's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement, and that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own quote-unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics, and I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. And the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhealth.com. So people can sign in, they can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth Freedom Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there. But we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhealth.com. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine. But I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosolve, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.